Blog Talk Radio.
This is what men do to try to get every hair. This is what we do. Introducing Fusion Pro Glide, rebuilt with FlexBall technology, makes maximum contact over tricky contours and gets virtually every hair. New FlexBall for the Fusion Pro Glide. Gillette, the best a man can get.
All right, now, listeners out there, this is a product of WBNN. This is the Coach's Corner with me, D. Gibbs. We are now on air live from Lagos, Nigeria. Call in at 516-453-9133. Press to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. How y'all doing out there? How y'all week? Very interesting week as it started. My first topic is about the slap. Got a lot of different meanings to it. And you got to read into the slap. So I don't know if you guys were there. So if you were under a rock, Chris Rock was hosting the the Oscars, and he said a joke about Jada Pinkett. Comedian, kind of distasteful, knowing that he knew her situation. Made fun of her hair compared to the G.I. Jane. Said, wait for G.I. Jane 2 to come out. Will laughed at first, which was weird to me. Then he approaches and walks up to the stage on national television and slaps this man in his face. Was it staged? Was it industry breakdown? Or was it a ritual? I kind of believe all three. It was not a good look for Will Smith at all. Shows that he is lacking some emotional. He's emotional. I don't know what's going on in their relationship. I heard they like to swing or whatever the case may be, or whatever the case, however it works with that Hollywood relationship. He's not the alpha male in that household. And it shows, it just shows in a lot of different ways. I actually thought it was distasteful. These elitists, the people that push these buttons, each scenario. Did all right in the box office. Wasn't a lot of good movies out, so we're going to put you in the category, but we're going to need a favor from you. We need to villainize you, Will. We need to villainize you. So we need to go slap Chris Rock across his face. We got other issues with Chris Rock that we're trying to use him for the humiliation ritual. The humiliation ritual, if you don't know what that is when he's publicly by doing some type of egregious stunt that make you humiliated, but it doesn't work against you. It works for you in their eyes because the humiliation ritual, you gain more. You get more shows. You get more notoriety. You get all this because everybody's feeling the, poor Chris Rock. He can go on every talk show in the world talk about why he's slapping. That's all a check. Now he got to have a whole kind of stand-up soliloquy about I got slapped. So Will got what he wanted, got the Oscar, right? Got what he wanted. You got to give something to get something. So don't be distracted. This is a form of distraction to everybody on social media all day long and wasting your time worrying about something that is not really, we got other bigger fish to fry in our community. So everybody got a joke about this slapping. Everybody got a meme. Everybody got a whole spoof. Ha, 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 ha. Laugh it up. Still high is a giraffe. Coochie. We're still killing each other at an alarming rate. All day, every day, somebody getting shot and killed and carjacked. Now, I know in Philly, they're running down and trying to rob the poppy stores, and they're getting killed. The property owners are armed and dangerous, and they're killing you. Last three days in Philadelphia, it's been a rash trying to rob the property stores, and the assailant is getting killed. We've got a war going on that's still just going on. But let's distract these fools. Let's put the Holly Weird show on. And they also did it for another reason, if you didn't understand the other reason why, because nobody watches the award shows. And it's boring. It's not really. And then a lot of us, culture, we're standing down on these shows. Man, white. It's their show. We won't be a part of that. I'm standing down. So to get ratings, what do? You call something that's going to have people tuning in, because I guarantee after that slap, the ratings went out the wazoo for the rest of that show. What do you think? You know, you can call in 516-453-9133. I want to know what people think about slap. What are you guys' assessment? Like I said, it was weird to me. I just thought it was some more Holly Weird stuff that it was just, you know, all of a sudden, you want to slap somebody. Will Smith slapping people. West Philadelphia, born and raised. Fresh Prince out here slapping people. Unbelievable. We're about to go to a track by the brother, the Hall of Famer. Brother.
Well, folks, run it down. I'm going to smack you with this.
Deadly rage, I'm at a cell on a sucker rampage, searching
This next topic is a trending topic. Gun control in the black community. Where do I start? So, today, I'm going to get to the progressively worse. Today, an eight-year-old kid brings a gun to school in the playground and discharges the weapon, causing a bunch of havoc in Melee, caused the school to get locked down, caused DHS to take the kids out the home, causes just a bunch of chaos. Because, obviously, in that home, how did he get to the gun? Well, he got to the gun because the estranged boyfriend, which is not his baby father, well, not the father of the child, was laying on the couch, dipped out, gun fall on the floor, kid pick it up, put it in his book bag. So I don't know what type of household that is, but I do know that that is cavalier behavior with a firearm. That you have a firearm that's so easy accessible to a child. And the story goes on and on. So I'll get to the most, one that's most, this week that was out of control, which was in St. Louis, where it was a house full of adults. 12-year-old young lady, little girl rather, excuse me, and a 10-year-old boy. Got the phone. She starts out doing little dirty gang signs and putting up stuff with the gun. Next thing you know, she puts the gun to the little boy's head and blows his brains out. And then she kills herself. Mind you, you can hear them downstairs having a chitlins party. It's a lot of adults in the house. So what in the heck is going on with us with these guns around children? At home, I'm not asking for no legislate. I'm just asking for us as people to understand we have the right to bear arms. I got that. But we don't have the right to let kids get to these firearms and get into heinous, bad situations, which normally end up they hurting themselves with these firearms. I'm just, please, you a gangbanger, keep your guns away from your kids. You a dope boy, don't let your kid sit there eating his cereal, watch you come in the house and table like you masculine. You're a fool. There are things called lockboxes. They're easy and accessible to get to. If you don't have that, how about putting your gun up way high somewhere where they can't climb and get it. If you know your child, you know your child is, you know, has the propensity to look for things, you definitely need to put that lockbox together or something. Put the gun lock on it. Whatever you got to do when you come in, because this is now, I understand what world we live in, your gun is like your wallet. Whether you have the right to have a legal permit or you don't. Everybody got one. But everybody is not thinking on a mature level that the cycle has the same pattern, the same thing over and over and over and over. I mean, it's bad. How does a little kid keep getting these firearms in their hands? And hurting themselves, or hurting their little brother, or hurting their little sister. We have to police our families. And I don't know what. Guns are dangerous. And as a saying, you know, guns aren't the problem, it's the people with guns. And I'm starting to really believe that. That there are too many reckless people running around with guns. How can you be in a road rage situation with your children in the car shooting at somebody with a child in the car? These are the things that's going on. And he cut me off. I'm a shooter. Wow. Miserable and that weird. And that demonic. But again, you're on YouTube all day watching a bunch of filth, flooring filth. You're on Instagram watching a bunch of filth, flooring filth. Listening to a bunch of filth, flooring filth all day. I guess that's what you're going to be. You are what you eat. When it goes in, what you're processing, comes out of your body the same way. Filth, flooring filth. All I'm saying is, please, please, can we try, not try, do, protect our children with these guns. We got enough problems to worry about with the police and other people trying to hurt us. Why are we hurting ourselves with these guns? Something to think about. Another track by the brother O.
Times of old, you forgot the past. Yeah, that was fast, but what we have was last. Because what's true so damn bold. I used to treat them bad, make them mad, make them sad. Why? They wonder what I had. So I take my time until I find that one special girl that I would make mine. Has to be a sister with a head on the shoulders. And see, I'm not trying to get over. And now that I found her, I think I'm ready. Well, yo, baby, let's go steady, steady.
Yeah, I'm just a little out of wits about the, you know, the lack of gun control in our community. I'm just briefly elaborate on that because the statistics are high that, you know, we have younger children that are really unprotected out here. And I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end. I don't have a solution to it. I just know that it starts with being us adults. We can't have children that act like children. Like, the irresponsible behavior is just, wow, how irresponsible can you be? It's a firearm. It's a firearm. These guys got hairline triggers. You know, with a hairline trigger, all you got to do is tap it, and it's going off. Just touch it. And it's going on. Going off. That is just how sad and unfortunate, just misguided we are as a people in our homes now. They're not out, even out in the street getting hurt. They get hurt in our houses. That's unfathomable right now. It's unfathomable right now. I'm just a little appalled. I apologize. I seen that video, and I was just totally disturbed about how that happened to those two. Rest in peace, little babies. That happened to them. I mean, I just, I want to cry. I do. I'm going to bring on Brother O right now.
Well, first of all, you know, we've been saying this for a long time. And I want people to press one on this conversation. I don't know about being quiet about what's happening in our black communities. You know, with the guns that happened in St. Louis, man, you know, it's another chapter in a bad book. I always say that charity starts at home. Where are your children right now? I've been saying this forever, forever in a day, man, since February 2013. Me and Rick going back into Halcyon Days Productions before it was a Beverly Nation. We've been saying this, man. Like, here's the situation, and Coach, I love what you know. We're going to go into the Will Smith thing. Now it's almost like Huddle Sports Nation. We're going back to the old days now, me and Brother Coach, right? Before I go into that foolishness of Hollyweird, but there's no way that children, adolescents, pubescents, will have a chance to get to a gun and use it. And then we become desensitized with death. Also, I've also said that the glorification of black death and youth of black America is trifling. there's songs out there. You know, we have a show called Merc City Hip Hop Program, and it's supposed to warn you about what's going on in those streets. That's why we play that music, Derek. You know that. To warn people what's going on in the streets. That's what Merc City has always been about. To know, you need to know what's going on, what these kids think. However, the young guys and young girl that's on our network on that show come together and be able to, you know, come up with issues and solutions, you know, to problems that's going on within us. There is no way in heaven or hell that a child should get hold of a gun in their house. The house is supposed to be a haven, a safe, a solitude. You know what I mean? A place where, you know, you can come in the house without worrying about what's going on in the streets and be safe. Whatever happened in St. Louis, all the partying, let me tell you, all those thugs is in there with guns, and a young lady gets a chance to get a gun and shoots her, you know, her cousin or her little brother, whoever it was, and then she figured out, instead of running to someone and say, hey, I made a mistake, that child took its own life too.
Yeah.
Now think how tragic that is. Think how tragic that is right here at WBNN. You know, outstanding performance and journalistic prowess by our outstanding coach. There should be, you know, it's funny about this network, and I'm going to say it because, you know, I don't bite my tongue. We have all these shows, and, you know, it's funny when things don't make people comfortable, they don't press one. And I'm not talking about my hosts, because my hosts are listening. I'm not talking about the hosts. I'm talking about people here and around the world. You need to tell me you guys are that comfortable that you have no comment on this outstanding topic of our children dying? We didn't even talk about and we're not even going to say, you know, the racist black on black. That's not, we're going to talk about it. It's violence is violence. Okay, that's what that is. Violence is violence. But we're not talking about the violence in our communities. How do you allow yourself to go to sleep knowing that little Ray Ray or little Shay Shay got killed, someone that maybe ate in your house, you know, a person that you tried to teach some things, maybe teach them a trade and all what have you, and that happens, and you go to sleep, and you don't protest for that? I mean, it's funny, Coach, we call the show Merc City for a reason. Merc City, every city is murder. That's why we call it Merc City, in your area. You know, it's funny, Derek, they don't listen to me. I say, remember Merc City in your area? And it's a cry. It's not trying to boast the show. I've been doing this since Halcyon Days. And we had, you know, Cruz de Illis and AG back in the days, you know, in early Blog Talk days, 2012. And I just say, Merc City in your area. That was a battle cry for people to come out and say, this is enough is enough. Then, of course, you know, the music we play and the things we do, we became the legendary Merc City hip-hop program, right? The longest-running hip-hop program in internet radio history. But our mission has not changed. It's Merc City in your area. Let's do better. It's Merc City in your area. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't have our children dying. Period. Grown folks shouldn't die, let alone our kids, man, because as a level form, you know, of all the things they try to be genocidal in our community, but that's just most elementary. Anger. People just getting angry for nothing. You know, today I was in a meeting with someone, and I got to say this, Derek, I'm so glad you allowed me to come on. I was in a meeting with somebody. Okay. I was trying to give someone an accolade. And all of a sudden, you know, their schizophrenic attitude, I know how that person is. It's just you getting your accolade. Let me allow you to be able to get that. We're in a meeting. So that person that, you know, developed the award, whatever, said something smart and said, oh, you know, I wasn't hating on you, you know what I'm saying? Don't think I'm hating on you for a person. And so that schizophrenic person gets angry at me for giving them the award that they deserved. And then after I walk away, you ask other people, was I wrong? You knew you were wrong. So now you come back to me, I'm not trying to hear it. Like, get out my face, because now you show me your true colors. And it's to a point where someone's like, well, you never liked me anyway. If I didn't like you, why would I go to bat for you? That's the sickness we have in our community. We're sick. we're sick. And I'm a type of person where I say some things sometimes, we're really going to cut you. And I said some things. And I'm not going to back down what I said. And now me and the person that I tried to help today, we're not speaking. Period. Probably never speak, never, ever again. And that's where, that's where it goes. Like, and this is a woman I'm talking about. So these are women that are raising our children. We get angry over the dumbest stuff, and it's like, well, now you want to apologize for what? No, you show me your ass, so no, I don't want to hear your apology. No, because one thing I don't believe in insincere compliment or insincere apology. Now you're my enemy. You go from me being an ally to an enemy. And that's what happens in the minds. You got people, and this woman is 47 years old. So you got someone that's 47 years old. Now these days, a grandma, right, Derek? A grandma these days, okay? Yeah. And having that mentality. So what do you think the grandkids are going to have? Or their child? We'll take a call if I go to, my next track. And it's sad. I mean, if I take the caller, Derek, man, this is a great, great, great sisters tonight, because what are we doing? We look like clowns to the rest of the world. It is sad. And this is a mother of someone's child. This is a grandmother of someone's child. Getting mad because of your insecurities. Just accept the shit and just go on from there. Like, because someone said something to you, what are you coming at me for? You should have went back. What? Are you stupid? Like, damn, someone really messed you up. With that attitude, someone's going to kill you. They're going to kill you out in these streets. Because you can't handle a compliment. God darn, you can't handle an insult. And I tell you something, there's many people at Six and Green. And my man know what I'm talking about. We're talking Philly slang now. Six and Green means you're underneath ground, baby. And many people have made bad decisions in Six and Green today because they stupid as hell. Caller number one, you're live right now with the Coach's Corner.
Man, you know what? Hey, Mr. Gibbs, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Man, you know what? You just made me quit my just over broke, man. First of all, it's good to hear your tone of voice. And as far as that, look, that has to be, by virtue of the fact that I'm a newborn man, so-called African-American, the whole thing is not set right with me, sir. From everything.
Okay.
Everything. I mean, I analyze it to the best of my ability, but unless he was trying to turn the other cheek, and he did that, unless he was doing, like, they said, you're supposed to serve your masters until you die, right? Unless he was using that type of concept. I can't see any brother is going to allow someone to walk up to them and slap them.
Right.
You know, getting slapped in private is one thing, right? But in front of a national recorded audience, and you turn, I mean, if you look at it, they even took steel shots. Can you hear me? They took steel shots of him, like holding his cheek out. And I'm like, okay, what kind of brother is going to allow that? All I'm going to say is this, Mr. Gibbs, any enemy, I don't give a damn if you're blacker than the midnight sky or whiter than Snow White and all 12 of her damn doors put together. You come at me like that, I'm going to hit you with everything that I can get my hands on, sir. There's no way in the world you're going to turn around and go sit down. You ever seen a cat or somebody jump on somebody's back?
Yep.
They've been with the commercial and come back, I'll still be stomping and kicking them.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
You're not getting away with that.
No.
And trust me, here's the ulterior motive. My high mind says this. They know their 400 years is up. Talking about the white power structure. They know their time has been up. So they want to keep people with that slave mentality to turn the other cheek and keep allowing us to get shot to death.
Wow.
You understand? And not doing anything.
Wow.
Right? And they know that we're the first children of the Most High. Don't think they don't know that. They know that. They know their time is up. But they want to keep us with this docile, forgive and forget crap. You understand? You got to stand up. You can stomp. You can pray. You can do all the things that you've been doing ever since slavery, right? Ain't nobody's going to come help you until you stand up, man and woman up, to do something to help yourself. Thank you.
By the brother Olansky.
Sitting here, writing a while,
yeah.
I'm angry. People want to change me. And what I do, I've been making for you. Stop beefing your food. Hip-hop, start from the street. It's not soft, it's a gristle beat. That's a no-no. Hip-hop on the strip will keep the energy flow. So I'm my sister, all hell free. And listen to this. Cause I'm taking it back, and if it's not hardcore, then I call it whack. That's the point. I'm trying to get up for it, cause it seems that you lost the sauce. Any weak beat, just put on whack. Then commence with the weakest rap. And another thing, I've been thinking, hip-hop ain't all about sin. That junk on rock, then you got a nerd to call that hip-hop. Man, you're nuts. That ain't bumping. That's why I'm here to explain a little. They wanna diss you. Try to tell you what to do. I ain't for that. I'm gonna bristle them back. What's the ill track? There's no music. I just use it. Pump up the volume. You better use it and play it. Y'all keep complaining. I'm tired of playing the game. I quit. This is it. Back to straight up hip hop legit. Beat so hot, man. It sizzles. Yeah, down to the grip. Cool C. Back again on a gristle string, getting dope, so I can get in. For real, Pat controls the wheel, make one record and think you can deal. You can't. That's not thinking. Thinking that, you must have been drinking. Suckers, you ain't saying nothing. Treat you like a target. It's all backing on you. Cause man, you're through. It's the hilltop that's doing the do. Picking off suckers, like a chisel. Why? Down to the gristle. Yeah, that's right. Down to the gristle. I'm killing deer like an old head. He hit that money thousands and thousands on a one and two. Steady boo be bumping on a beatbox. Fatal attraction rocking the dance step. Thick and thin dances in the house. Wild cool effect. 3D in effect. Chuck Knight, Woody Woo, and ESG. And yo, this goes out to all the people who's down with the real hip hop. And everybody else. And nothing. Take this in your face.
I don't know what happened. Oh, we had to be on the same page. And it's crazy. I was listening to the study being cool see today on another note. Wow. Yeah. I wanted to, like I said, you know, I wanted to end off with briefly that my last segment is called Guard Your Tongue. For those who don't, does that know what that means? Watch what you say out your mouth. On all aspects. Because what you spill out your mouth could get you in a world of trouble and get somebody else in a world of trouble, and it could cause trouble. It causes dissension amongst people. Cause you just bad karma. But not guarding your tongue. That's the part of the problem. Everything doesn't have to be verbalized. Somebody can be having a conversation with you, and you take what they say, like, oh, I'm just listening away. I'm just listening to be a, I don't have any advice, or I don't have anything to help them about their situation. I'm just listening to be newsy. Then you go spread that, what that person told you, to somebody else. But when you tell it, you don't tell it like the person told you. You tell it the way you perceived it, processed it. It could be totally wrong. You could have somebody jammed up in a bad situation. You know, other things about guarding your tongue is about backbiting, which is a sin. You should not be talking about somebody behind their back in a derogatory manner. If that's somebody that you actually are somewhat cordial with, friendly with, can't say it to them, you're a coward. Hey, look, man, I didn't like what you did last night, the other night, you know. But you go tell your friend, man, yeah, he corny for that, man. He did this the other night, and bop, 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 wham. You're a backbiter. And that's not guarding your tongue. Guarding your tongue to be if somebody tell you, hey, man, look, man, don't say nothing, man. I got a deal set up with blah, blah, blah. And this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And you sit there and you go say, for real? Hey, you know, blah, 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 I got a deal coming up. Blah, 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 I got a whole situation coming up. It's not guarding your tongue because that now has messed his deal up. Or somebody will steal his deal or her deal. Guard your tongue. That's part of our problem. We're always running our mouth about something to somebody. Tell you, yo, don't say nothing to nobody. You don't say nothing to nobody. Somebody could find you about some stuff that's going on within they, you know, in their life. You don't go run tell it to somebody else that ain't got no dog in the fight. That's bad business. And when you're doing business, guard your tongue. Don't talk too much. You'll talk yourself out of a deal. Tony, running your mouth like the person you're trying to do business, you got a nice proposal, everything set up, but they want to see the paperwork, and you keep running your mouth about how great this, whatever it is, that you don't have the money for, but you need funding. I like the proposal, but I don't like the person. I'm not doing nothing. I'm out. You talk too much. Guard your tongue. You in a household with your children? Don't be in there cursing up a storm, and when they do something, you trying to redirect them, but you're using uneducated words like F you and use another word. Get your dumb ASS over here. That's not guarding your tongue. That's terrible. And it's learned behavior. So now your kid thinks that that's acceptable, the behavior, to run around here and talk with a reckless mouth. And you wonder why, you know, your kid getting a call from school, like, oh, he was in here cussing up a storm. And that teacher, like, I don't know where he got it from, though. He didn't get it from us. Hint, hint. Guard your tongue. We're going to go to another track.
Bring the beat back. Yeah, sticky motivates you, might even sedate you. Don't underestimate it, it might make you. I'm not one for taking in this case. I'm giving for my beat into a kindness. I take the blue ribbon, I reach it for the sky. No, I'm not fly, cold death in the place. Yeah, I'm just that guy. And needless to say, steady B is my goal. No limits, so prepare for the next episode.
We have a call in queue.
Hey, Derek, it's Jerry Petito. How are you, sweetie?
Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
I'm doing good, baby. Just wanted to call and say hello. I love your topic, man. Guard our tongues. We all should be doing that.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's
pertinent right now because especially as a Lord, we need to really watch what we say out of our mouth to people or period.
You're right. And more so, even what we say to people, I get what you're saying, of course, but what we say about people.
Correct.
That's the worst part. You know, I was in a few situations where I didn't know a couple people in the room with me knew the person that I was talking about, and I was talking about this person in a good way. I said, I miss this person from school. I can't wait to see this person. They got to come to our next reunion. And the guy and the woman next to us said, that's my sister you're talking about. I kid you not.
Right.
And I said, Sharon, your sister? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. Now, could you imagine if I said, you know, I really hope that Sharon and Bruce don't come. Can you imagine that? Think about it, right?
Right. Right.
You know, you never know who knows who.
Right, but you don't got a negative vibe, though, so I wouldn't expect you to even put that type of energy out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you seem like the type of person that if you don't got
never.
So, or you
but, yeah, it's important.
That if you got a problem or it's a situation that arises that you get into some, like, not like, you know, it's a debate about something, you could talk to directly to that person. You're not going to stand down
right.
And then, I don't. That was whack what she said, but you didn't say it to her though. You understand what I'm saying to you, or him?
That's right.
So that's the a part about, you know, the guarding your tongue part. I'm trying to get that. If you man enough to say something behind somebody's back, you should be man enough or woman enough to say it to their face.
And I'm going to add one more thing to that.
Go ahead.
I want to add one more thing to that. You're right. And also, when people talk bad about other people too. Me, I always nip it right in the bud, and that's important too.
There you go, and that's very important. I didn't even add that aspect of it too, because I don't even let it get that far. So if somebody gonna say, I don't like brother, did you tell him? Because I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear another word from you.
That's right.
That's how I am. That shows a camaraderie and loyalty that we have to have. As it's just this universal love that needs to be. You understand what I'm saying? That's the problem.
Yep.
Everybody's so caught up in their own little box, and there's no universal love given out. Like, you know.
You know I got to come on with that one. You know I got to come on with that one.
Here we go.
And
baby.
I've been here for almost 10 years, and it's a whole lot of folk that don't like me, and I really don't care because you know why? I'm successful. Jerks.
Well, there you have it.
There
you have it. But I love you, Derek. I just wanted to call and say hello, sweetie.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. I appreciate you.
All right, honey. Have a good show.
Uh-huh. I wanted to bring Brother O on. What was your take on Slack, Brother O?
Well, first of all, I already know the situation with that. I believe that it was staged by both of them way back when. Okay, I believe that they talked in a room, you know, somewhere, some wonderful beach house in California, and said, "Hey, man, what's going on with you, man? You know, Will probably can't, you know, Will and Jada sitting there together. You know, what's going on with you, man? How you doing?" And they say, "Well, yeah, I've been suffering here and there, everywhere, and man, I don't know, man. I haven't been out there like that. You know, Dave is doing his thing, Tevin's doing his thing, yada yada yada."
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, Will said, "Man, it'd be great. Well, let me just, you know, smack you at the Grammys. Let's see what happens with that. Imagine that." And then, you know, it happened in front of our very eyes. You know, it's amazing to me what, you know, the farce that was that. And if you notice that when Will smacked him, he walked off like he was Barack Obama with a bottle.
Yep.
And sat back down. What got me was, he didn't allow, you know, Chris Rock to, you know, compose himself. He said, "Hey, Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me." And going with that, blah, blah, blah. So now he's out there being, you know, really honestly, you know, a girl. Keep your mind. We already made your point, Will. You just smacked him. And you sat back down like it was cool. So what's the problem? Like, you did your thing. You know what I mean? And so I don't really understand the situation at hand. So that's all right. That's my take.
Dave, as well. And, you know, like you said, whether they had a personal conversation, they may have brought to the higher powers, like, "Look, it's going to go down." And then people probably like, "Yeah, it's great for ratings. We don't have the ratings stuck on this show anyhow." Yeah. As soon as after it happened, watch how many people tune in. Yeah. And that'll help. Chris Allen is going to help you get this award, Will. Thank you. So I don't trust none of it. And I know it's a distraction. So we ain't watching, you know, the real.
Well, not only that, though, too. You know, you look at, you know, man, what shocked me was that, did he know he was going to win the Academy Award already? I mean, like, you know, then he comes back on and accepts the Academy Award after he smacked this man. So, I mean, it's sad. You know, it's not, you know, this is really a minor topic at WBNN. That's what we do. We want more people to call in, man, and have a conversation about this, man. I know why people are being quiet tonight, but it is what it is. But I think that it's just a farce and a travesty just to black people. You know, this man finally got his Academy Award for Best Actor. Now, you know, he would have got the Best Actor Award if it wasn't for Jamie Foxx and Ray, the same that he did Ali. So, you know, he finally got it. But, man, like, you have to shame yourself to get something? I mean,
right.
You know, his portrayal of the Williams sister's father was outstanding. You know, Richard Williams, that was outstanding. You know, it will go down in the test of time as one of the greatest acting. You know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. He should have won for I Am Legend, honestly. Okay?
Correct.
But, of course, there's always the Denzel Washington should have won for Malcolm X. It is what it is. But when Denzel plays a thug, and the people I don't say people go back into the repertoire of what Hollywood is. Denzel had parts, man, More Better Blues, all that was great. He wins his only Academy Award for playing the thug. Now, think about it for a second. And then it was a mockery in 2001. You got him winning it for Training Day, and then you got Halle Berry taking off her clothes. And we all know that Halle Berry's an outstanding actress, right? But she got to get butt naked, you know what I mean? Nipples out, you know, butt out, you know, acting like a straight-up whore in Monsters Ball for her to get.
Yep.
Come on, man. Come on. I mean, right. I mean, that's more than 21 years ago. You know, thank God that Jamie Foxx won for. You know, really the true Oscar to me was Ray. You know, and you look at this one, right? When I watch Ray, now, Derek, don't be laughing, okay? Who's Bakhtin out there laughing? But let me say, I never knew that Ray Charles had a drug habit. Now, I wasn't old enough to know that. I was born in 1970,
okay.
Right? I didn't know that Ray had a drug habit until that movie. So that's, again, a disdain of, even though they, you know, it was a redemption song and Ray Charles got over it, you know what I mean, because of his, you know, his demons, you know, causing his brother to, you know, to die in hot water and all that. And I understand all that. And it was a great, you know, great biopic, you know, showing his true life. But even in that was scarring Ray Charles' name, which Jamie Foxx won the Oscar for.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at, you know, all the Oscars. To me, in the history of the Academy Awards, you know, there has never been a great Oscar for a black person. Because you look at the subservient Sidney Poitier playing Lilies in the Field. He had to be the likable black Negro for a white America to say, oh, that's, well, if that's how black men are going to be, that's what we're going to promote. There's no way in hell in 1967 he doesn't win for Heat of the Night playing Virgil Tibbs. To me, that was the greatest performance of his life. Was nominated and didn't get it. However, Rod Steiger, right? You know, I'm a champion. I'm a person who studies and studies and studies, right? You know, I'm a journalist. How does, okay, we know that Rod Steiger played a hell of a lot of Gillespie. But the racist sheriff, even though he came along and around at the end, but he was still racist nonetheless, wins the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in that series. Imagine that. Imagine that. Rod Steiger won the award for that movie. It wasn't Best Picture. Okay? Look at Sidney Poitier again. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, right, was the movie of the year. And Sidney Poitier gets no hardware. Heat of the Night was his greatest performance. Didn't get any hardware. But when he's subservient, he gets the hardware. Hmm.
Say, huh? In Hollywood.
Yeah, really. And I mean, and I think that this show is so important because a lot of times you don't understand the history of what Hollywood does. Hattie McDaniel won her first Oscar playing the maid. And I want to thank Hattie McDaniel. I'm not knocking the McDaniel family. And Hattie McDaniel knew my grandmother, so I'm not going there. But Hattie McDaniel said, you know what, I'm going to twist this and turn this. Hattie McDaniel was the strongest person on the set of that movie. She didn't take anything from Scarlett. At all. That's what endeared white folk to her. Like, okay, this might be the mammy, but mammy ain't taking no junk. Mammy ain't taking no mess. Mammy ain't taking no jive. You know, and then all the rest, man, you know, it was a long time that blacks won even an Academy Award from Hattie McDaniel to Sidney Poitier. Are you serious? And then, you know, you give Denzel, even though, now, you know what, I gotta correct myself. Denzel's Best Supporting Actor Oscar for Glory.
Glory.
Might have been the greatest, might have been the strongest performance by any black actor in the Academy's history. It was portraying the drug addict that found redemption. It was portraying a slave that became a man. So I must say, honestly, Denzel Washington's Best Supporting Actor in Glory is the greatest performance of any black person in the history of the Academy.
Agreed. You ain't got no argument for me.
We go to our last track. Anybody want to come on and speak upon this outstanding topic tonight? You can. 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by them boys, man. You know what I mean? You know, my company. And go see Time Multimedia. Hey, Cool C, man. Can we live the glamorous life?
Get her. First of all, you got to have money just in order to be a honey. But hey, that's down my line, cause I like a girl that's fine. Give her everything that she wants, golden money so she can flaunt and show that she got Gucci, Louis Vuitton, MCM styles of every kind. Mega design, Alpina, this girl, man, you gotta just see her. Sooner or later, she'll be my wife, and that's when she'll live the glamorous life. What she got, they wanna get with it, but they're not doing nothing to get it. We're the talk of the town, every time that we roll round. Other girls, they just get jealous when they smell her Perry Ellis, or obsession, or her poison. You keep her away from the boys, and cuz they might try to disrespect you, but don't let them upset you, cause yo, they're not that thorough to take away your girl. A girl that has no price when she's in the glamorous life.
Have another call in queue.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you doing? And can I ask what your name is again?
Coach D. Gibb, Coach Derek Gibson. How you doing?
All right, good to see you again. Talk to you again, Coach. You know, it's Antonia Batts, and you know, it sounds like between you and Gozy and, you know, whoever else had, you know, came on to the show earlier, I'm quite sure everybody touched on this matter of Will Smith, which I think is blown a little out of proportion. But I wanted to say, speaking of Ngozi stating that his grandmother had known, I guess, or either came along through the era of Hattie McDaniel and what have you, and what they had to go through in order to be able to get the occasional rewards of being a diversified person or a person who was of color, and to be rewarded to get these rewards. I'll admit it took me off point when I really didn't know that Will Smith had, you know, done what he's done. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think some people realize earlier this year, maybe not for the same reason, but there had been a few people who were high-profile people possibly in the category of being a celebrity, had to make apologies for things, and it just disappeared. It smoothed over, just like it never been happened. I bet you not one person right now can just tell me or anybody who the individuals were this year. And they were high-profile people, but nobody kept running it on like it was the worst thing in the world that could happen. You know, I said, my goodness, I said, it was an open-hand smack. I said, which didn't take him off his feet. It's just that I think they're just pretty much running it because the controversy brings more news when it's a minority situation that was involved with something like that, and unexpectedly minority to minority, the contact that it had occurred when the slap occurred. But I will say this, though. We'll just disregard Will for a minute or Chris Rock. You know, his wife, she was one of the only people that I knew since I'm alive, maybe a few years ago, a little better, she went out there and advocated for diversity of people of color, of any color outside the norm, as I guess they would consider, to be able to receive their fair share of the opportunities that, well, maybe not exactly at the time that Chris Rock had came along, but not far from it. And even though Chris Rock, he's not compelled to have to participate, but just disregard all the rigmarole about the little slap and all this, that, and the other. She was the person that showed that for television and for movies that you can still hope you could get people to be more honest about including people of color into roles that had won them different types of awards, the Tony Awards, of course, like this Oscar thing. And she actually, I think, initiated like famous movies like Precious. And it's nice to see that Denzel got his due, because Denzel was a very prolific actor for a long time, and he got his due, but in the form of being able to sit up front where it counts and have somebody to give him the exact role for being the actor that he was. So I can say I really admire Jada for trying to bring some dignity to the whole thing. I would have really, because you know how Chris Rock's mouth can be, I would have probably asked to have a seat in the back of the place if I know that he's had former verbal quips that he joked about and unworthy of the dignity that Jada Pinkett Smith had brought on behalf of trying to support the old organization. But you won't hear much of that, I don't believe. Not that we should praise her because she's a minority, but a minority who believed that it's time that they stood for something, along with the others who probably have in the past, but to the degree that she had rallied people to bring the whole Oscar presentation up to where it is, where Regina King and what's the other person, one decided to get up there and get on that stage, as well as Chris to be reintroduced another time. That's all I have to say, and thank you very much, Coach, and thank you, Ngozi.
Well, you know, I got to come on and say something, too, to you, Antonia, too. Jada has done a great job. Jada and Will, maybe, have done a great job of promoting better processes for black actors and actresses in the Academy of the Motion Picture Sounds. One thing that I didn't understand, and I'm glad I'll keep you on the line, and I'm going to have your opinion on this, and Coach, thank you. One thing I did not understand is in her Red Table program on Facebook. What goes on in your house goes on in your house.
Yes.
And I did not understand. Okay. Had the women there, right? Not your husband at the table. But if you want to talk crap or smack about what you've done in your bedroom, Okay,
yeah.
That's women talk. That's what the red table thing was all about, right? Will Smith was sitting at the table when this woman had the audacity to not only say that she had a relationship with another man, but had a relationship with her son's best friend.
Wow, yeah.
And to have Will Smith listen to that at the table, to where he was shocked, appalled, and shed tears for all of us to see. What it did was it opened up what was going on in their household, which she should have never done. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, which everybody understands that, hey, who, I'll always use the neutrality of you, Antonia. It's not to say that women should not be strong in relationships, but however, you don't embarrass your man in front of an international audience. So already, we already knew that Will had mental problems in that situation. And then him having the audacity to be able to live with that, right? And now whatever mental control that Jada might have over Will, there's no way in the world Will should have gotten on that stage and did what he did. I don't care if Jada was upset about whatever comment was. It's in, you know, he's a comedian. So now should we stop listening to comedy? The things that make us laugh, because comedy is an edgy thing.
Right.
And it's crazy. She made a look that Will like, well, you gonna let this happen? Let this man embarrass you? No. What Will should have did, and Coach, I know you're gonna love this one, right? Will should have got up and went to right or the left to get himself backstage. Get this brother after, you know, whatever's going on, and then the commercial break, right? Talk to him and say, man, what's up, man? This has already been told to Chris Rock 2 weeks ago in TMZ interview that stop talking about my wife.
Oh, okay.
And he did it in front of the world audience. So there should have been a conversation between him and Will. If he was saying, hey, man, no, you know, it's all about blah, 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 blah. Hey, man, don't take it personal, man. It was like that. Then Will could say, okay. And he came back and said, hey, it's a joke. But if Chris Rock would have said, man, I don't give a damn what you say, then behind the stage, we should have heard that Will Smith punched out Chris Rock behind the stage, not on TV. So it's a lot of variables there. Or was it staged to help Chris Rock's career? But I go back, you know, all the accolades with Jada Smith, yes. You know, we're all human beings, right? And we talk about it all the time. We are not robots. Things happen for us, you know, in our lives, make decisions that maybe we should have thought about. You know, maybe I shouldn't have, coerced a combustible situation. That's something that we have to deal with, and that's something that Coach said very, very well, control of our mouth, control of our actions. But, wow, you're looking to have a situation to where when Jada disrespected her husband, that's something she should have never done. And all the work that she did that you just said, that you made a valid point, Antonia, and I love it. But wow, you do all the great stuff. Did someone tell you to disrespect your husband on Facebook Live? That's crazy.
I agree.
And I'm gonna let it go, and you and Coach can talk.
Okay, thank you so much, and I'm glad you introduced that because I did hear briefly about the situation that occurred with the introduction of what have occurred and what have you regarding the son's friend and et cetera. But you know, I think, and I may be incorrect, I think that she was just so used to receiving such input back from the audience members out there about, you know, controversial things. And some people don't know when to stop being a little too controversial in this world because not everybody, I mean, everybody will appreciate getting into your business, but not everybody appreciate a nice, healthy, happy family situation that they could have discussed amongst themselves, true. I don't think she did it to hurt Will, but because of her need to receive controversy even more than what she normally receives, she really, to be honest with you, didn't handle this whole matter respectfully and maturely. And she probably regrets it like I don't know what right now to this very day. I believe she do, because she didn't talk about it after that, like she was trying to grind it into his soul about what had occurred. She just didn't have the right choice of things to talk about. She didn't have the right behavior, and she really need to stop and think. Yes, I have all these accolades for what I've done, but truthfully, you know, not only do family come first, but Will Smith, I'm sure, yes, he did feel embarrassed, hurt, disrespected, all in one. And, you know, we get over these things. Obviously, he had, because he gave a response to Gayle King when she asked about the infidelity, you know, which she's good for probing. And so he said there was no infidelity. That means I don't want to talk about it. And, you know, this is between me and my family as far as I'm concerned, that whatever you heard, you know, is over with. And, you know, he just got tired of even people amongst his group, celebrities, media, whatever, sitting there trying to make a buffoon out of his family. And you know, like I said, Chris Rock is up on the front of the stage. Take a lesson from somebody who knows, who's been to a comedy show before and won't go anymore. I don't have a problem with it, not because my little old feelings could get hurt, but because I know some people do not care what it take in order to get a jolt out of people. Sit yourself to the back of the place, way in the back, maybe partially out of the eyes of the camera, and act like you don't even acknowledge him. That's another good way for them to handle it from Will's point of view, if they did choose to do so. Well, hopefully he'll just learn a lesson from now on. Just don't give in to comedians who want to sit there and single you out and find a reason to embarrass your family even worse than what it was. Because I'm quite sure Chris Rock has some things. If you opened up his Pandora's box of things that, you know, he would like to be able to put out there, but he know better than to do it because he'll be the blunt of other people's jokes too. Give him something to think about as well. So thank you. I'm sorry to hold you up. Thank you very much for your time, Coach. I appreciate you all giving me the opportunity to help lend another point of view, because I called up around to various people I knew and asked them their opinion. And I couldn't believe other people who were willing to attack Will without realizing that Chris Rock can be a little rough around the edges too, and he won't care because he knows it brings him a lot of, look how it's got him these sold-out venues. And he seemed to have taken the high road, as some people said, but they had a dislike for Will. I said, well, when he comes to your town and give out free tickets for being one of the owners of 76ers basketball team, please don't grin and skin in his face and act like, you know, you like him so much, because I know he don't even know who his enemies are now because of things that occur like that. So thank you. I apologize for holding you up, both of you.
All right, Coach. We have another caller. Are you ready for the caller? Okay, hopefully Coach that fell out in the spirit, but we'll go on from there. Caller, you're on the line right now with the Coach's Corner.
All right, peace. This is Magic Man. Huni Bakatun calling back one more time. This is the public service. How you doing, Coach? Coach, if you don't mind, I have to issue this public service message, if you don't mind, sir. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are cheering. Oh, Will is just standing up for his woman, standing up for the black woman. Let me tell you something. Before, when I came on the first time, I said, if it was fake. Now, here's the other side of the coin. Suppose it was real. And if his wife knew that agitated her, that's a time and place for everything. I want everybody to hear me clearly. Do you know how dangerous that was? If he had approached a person such as me, a person that's well-trained. I go from 0 to 120 just like that. And as soon as you break that barrier, you come in between my arm link, I'm snatching everything. All of this is gone. He could have lost his life right there on the spot. You understand?
Yeah.
So you got some women out there that are going to try to punk a man, especially so-called black, oh, you got to stand up and defend me. You got to stand up. If I give you some of this, you got to stand up and fight and die for this. There's a time and place for everything. And every man isn't He-Man or Superman like that. But there are certain men, such as myself. Like I said many times, I take you from this world into the next and for the rest of eternity. So you got to be careful,
well,
y'all. You got to be real, real careful about who you step to.
Yeah, you do.
I'm going to estimate my last thing I want to say is the first rule in any self-defense is don't underestimate anybody, even if Chris Rock, yeah, laughing and joking, whatever. Sometimes they can be the most dangerous person. The quiet person or the person who could be giggling and joking, they can be some of the most dangerous people that ever visited this planet.
It's true. Totally true. My thing with the whole situation is we got a lot of idiots out here that don't have a force, that they're going to run with this and think they're going to be putting their hands on people out here, and it's acceptable. Will did it. I'm going to do it. And you're going to get your head blown off. Violence begets violence. You are supposed to be a legend, icon, philanthropist, whatever you call yourself, Mr. Smith. It's made a mockery of yourself because you went to violence and allegedly these people that put these shows on, that's the last thing they allegedly want to see is violence. Is what I heard. Oh, you do that type of stuff, you're out of here. And not WGGA stuff. We don't want to be a part of that. So for them, for that to go down like that was out of pocket. Because like I told you, people are following. We live in a following world. And people are going to follow behind this goofball and get their heads blown off or get their neck broken in the street, put their hands on somebody. So I'm going to go to negotiate time after this.
Well, first of all, I said it many, many different times. And I heard what Honey Bakatoon said. Honey Bakatoon is an International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting and enshrining. And there is discipline with that. If anybody comes to put their hands on you, you make sure they don't put no hands on anybody else. I understand all that. Tough talk, right? But when you are a person of grandeur, words don't mean nothing. Will Smith allowed himself to become a fool, or he allowed himself to be shamed. So there's always a different well. You know, like Honey Bakatoon said, maybe it wasn't what we feel or perceive it was. Maybe he just lost it and said, hey, you ain't gonna talk about my lady like this, blah, blah, blah. But hold on, Will. You are Hollywood royalty, so to speak, what they think. I told you what he needed to do. Meet him backstage or meet him later on. Not on live television. A night that he actually won Best Oscar. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing? Why do we always got... I explained to you, I gave you history of the mockery of the Academy Awards since Poitier and McDaniel. I told you what happened with Denzel and Halle Berry and Jamie Foxx and all the rest. Even the brother that won for the, for the Green Book, Mahershala Ali. You know, and if you look at that situation, right? I'll bring back on Coach for a second. Coach, I bring you back on for this one, right? Even that, right? He was, even emasculated in that performance. You know, going to jail for having a homosexual situation. That could have been left out of that movie. Not knocking the lesbian, gay, transsexual community. Y'all know what I'm saying. All the people who love me know I'm telling. Listen, the rainbow was not represented the right way. Okay. He could have had a homosexual relationship that was respected. Okay? Why he has to go to jail for it? You see what I'm saying? So some things don't need to be part of the script. And he won the Academy Award for that. Okay. Every time there's an Academy Award for something, since Poitier, okay, and I told you that Denzel won as a man, you know, for Glory, there's always some foolishness. Look at Monique's award. Coach, you know, I know you're crying right now. That's what I'm about to say. And, you know, as a journalist, I got to say what I got to say. Monique played the crazy, manic, schizophrenic mom that disrespected her child to put her, call her ugly, you know, be nobody, you know what I mean? I wish you were dead. I wish I would have fell on the steps. I mean, she said some crazy stuff and won an Oscar for it. Now, I must correct myself because in broadcasting, we move in perpetual greatness. Jennifer Hudson's Oscar was outstanding. So that means that only Denzel and Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls, Effie White, right? That was amazing. Yep. That was amazing. You know, that's the story of someone that's downtrodden, right, Coach? And rise above it and be great. So, you know, her Oscar was outstanding. And it might have been greater than Denzel's. So there's only two times in the history of the Academy that, wow, that was great. But look at the sacrifice that Jennifer Hudson had to go through. I'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
So we go into Ngozi time, and we have another person, man, who's a Freedom Fighters Network, and you already know. She don't care. Her name is Sister Bethany Truth, the Front Porch tomorrow night, WBNN, Studio A, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time and Daylight Time right here. And what more can we say? That WBNN has advertised doing Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest, and Ngozi Time. Ole Day Malay, we go see at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight? Ole Day Lay, Dying Goes with Mine, gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole Day Malay, when goes here saying goodnight and goodbye. To all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, support us on a constant basis. Knuckleheads, huddle up. It's coach time.
Hey, great show tonight. Great show tonight. Like I said, everybody got their take on the slap. I had my take on it. Everybody had their take on it. The ones that just listened tonight, thank you for listening. I would like you to chime in. So, you know, next month, when y'all hear me, we're going to chime in. It's not hard. Right? We're easy-going people on this network. So, like I said, just please put them guns in safe places so our children have a future. Watch your tongue. Good night.